That was Devours live on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting live for Pride programming. This has been Full Spectrum Rainbow Waves. In about a minute, Devours is going to come join me in studio. And in the meantime, I have a little message for you, so stay tuned.
You are listening to Full Spectrum Rainbow Waves on until 7 p.m., 8 hours of Pride-themed programming on CITR 101.9 FM. Stay tuned for documentaries, performances, and music by and about LGBTQIA2S+ individuals. Happy Pride to all our listeners.
Summer. 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 Summer.
The summer double issue of Discorder magazine is out. Grab one right now to read features about accessibility in Vancouver, Western Front's media artist-in-residence, Gabby Dow, about Gablevision, the LGBTQIA+ video history archive at Vivo, local thriving 18-year-old hip-hop artist Prado, an interview with the Chinatown Concern Group, Vancouver Latin American Film Festival. Plus, you can cure your FOMO with our concert reviews, amp up your summer playlist after reading our album reviews, and of course, there's a special taroscope waiting for you in the summer issue of Discorder magazine. Pick one up today at a stand in your neighborhood. Thanks to our advertisers, the Rickshaw Theater, Current Symposium, the Cinematheque Live Van, the Rio Theater, Audiopile, Rifflandia, and Mint Records.
All right, you are listening to Pride programming on CITR 101.9 FM, and I am joined in studio with Devours.
Hi.
Hello, how are you?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. So you just played a live set in CITR Studios, and I know you're super sweaty and probably a little bit tired, especially from lugging all your gear out in the heat, but thanks for coming in and having a chat.
It was worth it.
Excellent. So I just want to like describe, in case people weren't looking at the Facebook live feed while you were playing, I just want to describe what you're looking, what you're wearing right now. You've got like full big black glitter eyebrows and a big checkered silky rainbow shirt on. So can you like talk to me about your aesthetic and where that came from?
Oh, sure. Quite literally, it came from Salvation Army, Main and 12.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I'm wearing a rainbow blouse. And yeah, I originally, like when I started performing about a year and a half ago, I was going to only wear a pink dress every time I performed. And I don't know why I let go of that idea. I'm still waiting. Like when I put on my cassette release show, which is coming up, I don't know, sometime soon, then I'll probably do that. But yeah, I don't know. I just like the idea of being colorful, I guess. I don't know, because there are a lot of like throwback 80s sounding bands that just wear all black. And they're just like, yeah, we're post-punk and we are going to wear all black. And that's fine. Like people can do that and it's fine. But I wanted to just sort of, I don't know, do the opposite.
Yeah, totally. Well, it kind of matches your sound because it's a little bit more flowery, a little bit more fun and like definitely
Thanks.
Pop. So it's
Yeah,
makes sense that you would add some colorful flourishes.
Yeah, like, thank you.
Yeah.
I guess.
Do you think about your aesthetic as part of your brand? Or do you think of yourself as having a brand?
That's a really good question, actually, because I've been a musician my whole life. I've made a lot of music. But I think that I've always kind of struggled to figure out aesthetic. You know, I was just sort of like a studio musician / bedroom musician for so many years and wasn't performing. Couldn't get shows. And then a year and a half ago when things started to come together, you know, I started to realize, oh yeah, like visuals are really, really important and I don't have an aesthetic. My first show that I played was just me in like a t-shirt and jeans. You know, like I needed to figure it out pretty quick. And so, yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm still figuring out the brand. I still need to get merch going. But yeah, that is all very important. And I think that for Late Bloomer, I wanted to have kind of like a pink, like flowery aesthetic to go along with like the themes of the album. So that was kind of like that was pretty straightforward to come up with. But yeah, I don't know if that answers the question.
Yeah, totally. Well, it seems like it's something you're building towards.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I read that you actually sustain yourself and like make a living making music. Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. So I'm a freelance music composer. So I've made music for some TV commercials and documentaries and stuff. But those gigs are pretty few and far between. And so how I actually survive in Vancouver is by doing music editing for kids' TV shows. And so I'm the music editor for a show called Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs right now.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I've heard of it.
Yeah, yeah. So we just started season 2 a few days ago, and I am gonna just do that. Yeah. That's how I'm surviving.
Yeah. So you, Devours is what, 4 years old approximately? It looked like your first EP was out on Bandcamp in 2013.
Yeah. Oh, I'll have to like sum up a very long story, but I started it a long time ago, maybe 2011 or so when I moved to Vancouver. And for a good like solid 4 years or so, it was all instrumental. I wasn't singing at all.
And it was a lot harsher, too, from what I've listened to in terms of like experimentation.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, it was really sample based. It wasn't even really like synth pop. There were no synthesizers almost. It was just really like, yeah, lots of like Foley sounds and like old pop songs that I would morph into new things. And so, yeah, I just wasn't booking shows and wasn't getting anywhere. And a few years ago, I decided to switch my game up. And it worked because playing live is fun.
Yeah, totally.
So, yeah, I just had to find a sound that kind of, I guess, worked for me a little better. But those early releases are just, I guess I turned them into mixtapes. At the time, they were real releases, but like they weren't put on a label and no one listened to them. And so I guess I turned them into mixtapes now. And Late Bloomer is like officially my first album. So.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, but started about 5 years ago.
Yeah. Well, it seems like there's always a long story before we get sort of like the polished product or what seems like a polished piece of work, which for you is a long time coming, but for us is fairly new.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Yeah. Cool. Well, you've talked about it a little bit in other interviews, but I would love it if you could talk about the name of your record and why Late Bloomer. You've alluded to it a little bit just with that story about your start as a musician. But yeah, what else is there there?
Yeah, so it kind of works on two different levels, because one of the levels, I guess, is referring to me coming out as gay when I was in my mid-20s, which I suppose for my generation is like a little bit late, which is fine, like better late than never. But yeah, it also is referring to my coming out in the Vancouver music scene, because I'm 32 and I'm not like trying to hide it or ashamed or anything, but I'm a little bit old to be getting into a music scene where like for years I just couldn't meet people or book shows. And so, yeah, I mean, that's what the song Late Bloomer is partially about. And so on two different levels, it's kind of like coming out into something, into a community a little bit like later than average. But yeah, I think that the themes of the album aren't so much about like my sexuality. Some of the songs are for sure, but it had been about 5 years since I made music with lyrics, and so that was a major thing. I used to live in Montreal and make music there, and then came out of the closet right when I moved to Vancouver, and then wasn't singing. Mm-hmm. I kind of lost confidence in my voice for a handful of years and was only making instrumental music, and I guess I had a lot to sing about. A lot happened in 5 years in Vancouver. And so, yeah, I mean, that's kind of what the album is about, I guess. It's just sort of like relationships and breakups and gay sex and dating and what it's like. And just like, yeah, learning all this stuff a little bit later
My
life. Yeah.
I relate to that. I didn't come out till I was in my mid-20s either.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
And it's definitely one of those things where you're like, I've missed out. And you have to try to like catch up.
Yeah, I really believe that it's better late than never. I'm so glad that I came out. Life has been so much better. I can't even describe it. So, yeah.
Yeah, totally. I wanted to ask if there was, well, first of all, like, why did you move back to Vancouver from Montreal? And then also, was there something that like changed in you once you came back to somewhere that was a little more familiar? Because you're originally from Nanaimo, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Wow, cool.
Yeah. did a little research. Awesome. But yeah, was there something that changed? Like, was there a reason that you left Montreal, came to Vancouver? What was that whole process like?
Yeah, good question. So I grew up in Nanaimo and then went to university in Victoria. So I spent all of my like adolescence basically on the island. Never really spent time in Vancouver. It was like a new city when I moved here. But I lived in Montreal for 3 years in my early 20s and was pursuing music there and was releasing albums, like full-length albums that just never really took off.
What did it sound like?
Pretty different from Devourers. Yeah, a lot of it was analog. It was just sort of like experimental. Some of it was a cappella. I had like a grunge project at the time, so it was just all over the place. But yeah, it just didn't really work out. I didn't find much of an audience there, and so I was kind of bitter and disgruntled and moved to Vancouver when I was 25 to go to the Art Institute of Vancouver. So that's the main reason I moved here, is to just be, I guess, a little bit closer to home, but also to try getting into the industry a different way. Because I was like, hey, I guess I'm a failure as a singer-songwriter. Maybe I can be a composer and make music for, like, I don't know, like, yeah, just like documentaries and stuff. And so that's mostly what I was pursuing for about 4 years. I guess school was really short. It was just like a one-year intensive course. And then after that, I was hustling, trying to find random gigs in the city. But yeah, so that's why I moved here, was to go to school, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think that being a composer and getting that training that's probably a little bit more technically based has influenced the way that you approach making music in your personal project?
I need to be careful with what I say. The Art Institute is great. But yeah, I mean, it wasn't like, yeah, it was fine. I think that I could have maybe just gone on YouTube and watched a lot of like tutorials on how to use Logic and stuff, and it could have like put me on the right track. And so, yeah, but I mean, education is important. Stay in school, kids.
Yeah, totally. But like, so you're composing for like children's show that?
No. So my boss is the composer for the show, and I work as his assistant doing music editing and stuff. But yeah, so I'm not making the music myself for these shows. But in terms of other things like little short movies or documentaries and stuff, then I am the composer for that. But nothing in like the big leagues.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. It's all clear now.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, it's fine.
I don't want to take credit for anything that is not mine.
Fair enough. I would never want you to. Okay. So this past year, you were actually in the CITR Battle of Bands Shindig.
Yeah.
Why did you enter?
Okay. Yeah. For a good maybe like 3 years, I really, really wanted to play shows locally, and I could not meet people or like book shows. I was just completely like in my bedroom. And last year, I guess I finally met a few people that could help me. And then it started kind of like a freight train of playing lots of shows last year, which was really exciting. And so I was kind of like a tiger let out of the cage, and I was just like hustling really hard. And I was like, Shindig, let's do it. And so, I did it and I lost. But it was great.
I remember seeing you play a couple times, and it was so fun. And I know it sucks that you lost. I'm sorry that you lost.
No, it's totally fine.
Yeah. I've heard that from other artists, too, that this city is really hard to, quote unquote, break into the scene, even though there are many different scenes. Mm-hmm. So, like, what version of a scene would you say that you've found now?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I guess I'm so grateful for CITR and for Discorder. I think that they helped me out a little bit, because I had only played a few shows and then my face was on the cover of Discorder, which was like a huge deal for me. It was so exciting. And I think that gave me a little bit of cred that I needed in the scene, because I didn't really know many other musicians. And once they saw that, they were like, oh, maybe he's okay. Like, maybe I'll pay attention to him. And so things became easier for me since then. But I think that one of the things that I had been struggling with for a while, I suppose it was that there just isn't a ton of electro pop in Vancouver. You know, it's a predominantly like indie rock, psych rock, garage rock scene, which is great. I love rock music. But I didn't really fit into electronic music and the whole 1080p scene, which is great. But my music didn't sound like it. And then, I couldn't meet like-minded musicians. That's ultimately what it was, you know. And I think that I also needed to figure out my aesthetic, which is a good, why you mentioned that earlier. I think that I was, my clothes were boring. I don't know. I was part of the gay community for a good handful of years and was not thinking about like, oh, I need to look cool because I'm an artist. Like, I didn't even think of myself as an artist for a good handful of years. I was just like a person making music. Mm-hmm. But I think that I needed to just like give myself an image, like makeover a few years ago and go to more shows. And like eventually it kind of came together. But yeah, I guess like I hate to. It's hard to explain, but like you do sometimes need to like do what you have to fit in enough, you know, whether that's like going out and getting some vintage clothes or something. Like it's a really judgmental scene. And so like, yeah, sometimes you need to do what you have to.
Totally. Have you found that there's any kind of like a queer subculture within the music scene?
Yeah. So, I mean, I've learned a lot about the local scene in the last year and a half. There are quite a few. Well, I shouldn't say quite a few. There are some gay and LGBTQ plus musicians. Not a ton. I'm surprised, actually. I thought that there would be more. But, yeah, I don't know. I wish that there was more of one.
Mm-hmm. I know. I've always... It's something that I dig for, too, and I wonder if I'm just looking in the wrong places, so I'm always going to keep asking people to see. It's like, do you know where they are?
Yeah, no, I've been like, I've been doing my research and following the scene pretty closely in the last year and a half, and there aren't a ton of local things like that. Yeah, so.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're grateful for folks like you who are doing it and are like have, you know, fingers in both pies, so to speak. So you mentioned that you have been getting on a lot more shows in the last year. Are there artists that you have enjoyed collaborating with in Vancouver? Because I know there are a couple people featured on your record. So are those people that you collaborate with regularly or what's the deal there?
Okay, yeah, good question. So I was a part of a local choir for about 3 years called Esquire. And yeah, one of the members of the choir, his name is Joel. And he is one of the best singers that I've ever met in my life. And he sings on some of the record because I am not that amazing a singer. And so he has a great falsetto. And I got him to come in. I recorded everything in my apartment. So he just came over one day and recorded some vocals and really helped me out. But yeah, aside from that, I haven't collaborated with any other musicians. I'm typically kind of like a lone wolf. I don't know. I've never been very good at collaborating. I want to change that. Mm-hmm. It's really important to share ideas and... You know, I tried being in a few bands when I was growing up and that just it didn't really work out. And so it's, yeah, I think I'm a little bit of a control freak. And so I want to just do everything myself for better or worse. Sometimes it's great, sometimes it's not great. But yeah, who else? It would be fun to collaborate with Mark Mills. I think that he's fantastic. I know that he's writing some new music right now. And so we've talked about it last year. Maybe that'll come together, but. Yeah, I don't know. Collaboration is important. I need to do more.
Very cool. Yeah, I can see that working out well. Mark Mills has played here a few times, and he was on Shindig too, right?
Yeah, he beat me.
Oh.
Yeah, which is great. Mark is an amazing performer. I look up to him as a performer. He's fantastic. I thought that he got a little robbed, actually, because he got to the finals. Like, we were in the semifinals, and then he got to the finals, but got third, I think.
Oh, I would have to look back. I can't remember who second was.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he got third out of three, but he's a great performer.
So. Scandal.
No offense to the other finalists.
Great. That's so funny. Are you working on any new material? You mentioned that you have a cassette release coming up soon.
Yeah. It's taken a really long time. I just put it out, I guess, digitally, like on iTunes and Bandcamp and stuff last April. So it's been over a year now since it's been out. And yeah, I guess I just wanted something physical. And so I'll put on, I don't know, like over the summer, like opportunities to perform and shows and stuff have kept coming up. And there hasn't been like a good time for me to actually put on my own like release party or whatever. And so it's on my mind and it has been for a few months, but it's just the timing hasn't been right. And so yeah, I'm going to put that out really soon. They've just been collecting dust on my floor for like 5 months.
So they're just waiting for the world. They're ready. Okay.
And we'll see if anyone buys them. I don't know if anyone has cassette players, but it's like a cool thing to buy or to make. And then, yeah, I guess it's been kind of on the down low, but I'm like almost done an entire new album.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, I just got a lot of ideas after releasing Late Bloomer. And then, yeah, like, I played one of the songs from it on the show tonight, and Yeah, I'm excited. I'm really excited. I'm trying to like tone down my excitement because I don't think it's going to come out for a long time. I want to just like wait for the right time for it to come out, I guess.
How's it sound? Yeah. How is the sound different? Or do you think it's sort of like it's in more a similar
upbeat.
Line? Oh, more upbeat?
Yeah.
That's fun.
And more queer.
Sweet.
Definitely. Yeah, the lyrics are a bit more... yeah, like they were really personal in, on Late Bloomer. I've always written like pretty personal music or lyrics. But yeah, with this next one, yeah, it's just more raw. I don't know. Like I'm not holding back. I'm just really going for it on the next one.
Well, that's
so, yeah, it's more
exciting.
Of like an intense album. But it's, I don't know, it's fun. I don't know. I've been enjoying listening to it. I'm still mixing it, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's wonderful. You'll have to let us know, especially if you're having a release party.
Oh, sure.
Or show.
For Late Bloomer?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
I mean, and anything going forward. But
thanks.
Well, thank you so much for the performance and for joining us today and for polishing off the end of our Pride programming this year.
Thank you for having me, and happy Pride.
Yeah, happy Pride to everyone listening. And once again, this has been Devours Live in Studio and live in the on-air studio for an interview. So
bye.
Bye. Oh, maybe before you go, tell people where they can find out more about you. What are your social medias?
Oh, I am on Facebook and I am on Bandcamp. I think it's devours.bandcamp.com. I am on Instagram as devours.xyu. I think I'm on Spotify too. Yep, that's it. Not on Twitter.
Okay. And because you mentioned Mark Mills, what is a Mark Mills track that we can play to take us out today?
I think it's called Love Yourself Remix.
Okay, sweet. Let's see here. Go Love Yourself Remix.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Wonderful.
It's amazing.
Okay. All right, so everyone listening, go love yourselves this weekend or today, whenever works for you. And once again, thank you very much for listening to Full Spectrum Rainbow Waves on CITR 101.9 FM. You can find podcasts and videos from today at our Instagram, which is at CITR Radio. And you can find podcasts at CITR.ca by tomorrow. Thanks so much. Take care.
Was life here? No one ever told me.